The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. The text of our sermon today is Matthew chapter 25, verse 46a. "And these will go away into everlasting punishment." Lord God, Heavenly Father, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, today is the third last Sunday of the church year. It is the time when we study the last times, the judgment and eternity. The gospel lesson calls us to be awake, for false Christ and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Therefore pray for a discerning spirit. Do not be deceived by the masses, and beware of chrism. We should all be familiar with the judgment passage recorded in Matthew chapter 25. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those in his right hand, 'Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and he gave me food. I was thirsty, and he gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?' The king will answer and say to them, 'Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me.' Then he will say to those on the left hand, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and he gave me no food. I was thirsty, and he gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me.' Then they'll also answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you?' Then he will answer them, saying, 'Assuredly I say to you, and as much as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me.' And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." So from this text we can clearly see that there are two classes of people who will rise in the last day: the unbelievers and the believers, the lost and the blessed. Today we shall confine ourselves to the first and larger group, and to the place to which they will be consigned by the Son of Man. We shall frankly speak of hell. Lutheran pastors are not to be weak-kneed, soft-spined preachers like the one who told his hearers that if they are not saved, they would go to the place which one does not mention in a polite society. There is a hell. Annihilationists claim that there is no life beyond the grave and that people simply cease to exist. They will get a rude awakening, for we read in Mark chapter 12, verses 26 and 27, "Have you not read in the book of Moses, in the burning bush passage, how God spoke to him, saying, 'I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living.'" What this is teaching us is that Abraham, Isaac and Jacob are alive in heaven. Universalists, on the other hand, in name or in belief, feel that somehow everyone will finally get into heaven. But the Bible clearly teaches the existence of hell, and according to the Bible we shall speak of hell, what and where. May the Lord bless our meditation. Firstly, hell is a place of punishment. Our Saviour's words are very plain, and these will go away into everlasting punishment. Now, punishment can be expressed as suffering in the negative sense. There'll be no more earthly joys. Heavenly bliss cannot be enjoyed. Read in Luke 14, verse 24, "For I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper." In hell, they are forsaken by God. Remember what Jesus Christ suffered, as we read in Matthew chapter 27. "And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" In hell, there is separation from God. On earth, even the unbeliever comes under God's providence. For example, we read in Matthew chapter 5 that God makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. But in hell, there is complete separation from God's grace and kindness. They are banished from the blissful presence of God. In hell, they are also separated from the saints and angels. We read in Luke chapter 16, "And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those pass there to us." Punishment can also be expressed as suffering in the positive sense. Firstly, in their soul, they will acknowledge God as the just judge. In other words, on the last day, there will be no unbelievers. They will acknowledge their sin. Their conscience and the devil will continually accuse them. We read in Isaiah chapter 66, "And they shall go forth and look upon the corpses of men who have transgressed against me, for their worm does not die, and their fire is not quenched. They shall be an abhorrence to all flesh." Yet the damned will be filled with a continual hatred toward God, as you read in Daniel chapter 12, verse 2. "And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt." The anguish of soul is increased by the fact that they are conscious of the bliss of others in heaven, and is intensified in those who during their lives on earth had an opportunity to be saved. Remember how the rich man wanted to warn his brothers. Secondly, in their body. And these will go away to everlasting punishment. It is called punishment in our text. Fire. "Then it will also say to those on the left hand, Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." It is a real but supernatural fire. Remember the story of the rich man and Lazarus. Remember how the rich man cried out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." The fire was not originally prepared for man, but for the devil and his angels. That man will go to a place not intended for him is absolutely horrific. In hell, there is an everlasting punishment, as our text says. It is an everlasting fire. All hope is abandoned for those who enter hell. Remember that eternity is not 1,000 or even 1,000,000 years, but without end. And then recall the parables of the Lord. The door is shut. Matthew chapter 25, verse 10. "And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut." And then there is a great gulf fixed. "And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us." There is no escape from hell, no transfer from it into heaven. Let us consider some other Bible references. In the Old Testament, we read in Isaiah chapter 34, "For it is the day of the Lord's vengeance, the year of recompense for the cause of Zion. Its streams shall be turned into pitch, and its dust into brimstone. Its land shall become burning pitch. It shall not be quenched day and night. Its smoke shall ascend for ever. From generation to generation it shall lie waste. No one shall pass through it for ever and ever." And in Matthew chapter 3, verse 12, "His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." And in Revelation chapter 14, verse 11, we read, "And the smoke of their torment ascends for ever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name." Have you ever been in a fire or watched something burn out of control? It spreads, it burns, it consumes, it is hot and often uncontrollable. In hell, you can add the words unquenchable and forever. Unbelievers are not annihilated or simply cease to exist, but continue to live in torment and pain forever and ever in hell. The hymnist writes, delay not, the Spirit of grace, long grieved and resisted, may take his sad flight, and leave thee in darkness to finish thy race, to sink in the gloom of eternity's night." And in hymn 492 we sing, "Depart from me accursed to everlasting flame, for rebel angels first prepared, where mercy never came." Another hymn correctly expresses hell as fires undying. Everlasting punishment, these are terrible words, but it is a just punishment. Human reason says, how can God, who is love, punish people so terribly? Therefore, many so-called Christians no longer accept this teaching of Holy Scripture. Can we still believe it? We must take our reason captive. Ours is not the reason to reason why and how. We are to simply to believe the Scriptures. We may rest assured that the treatment which God deals out to the damned in eternity will not and cannot be unjust. God would cease to be God if he did anything contrary to his divine justice. It may seem unjust to our human minds, especially in the case of those who did not hear the gospel in their lifetime. There is, however, some explanation for this, since Scripture teaches that there are degrees of damnation. For example, read about the servant who did not know in Luke chapter 12. And that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know, yet committed things deserving of stripes, shall be beaten with few. Another example is given in Luke chapter 10, verse 12. "But I say to you that it will be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city." And Matthew chapter 23, verse 14. "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses and for pretense make long prayers. Therefore, you will receive greater condemnation." John chapter 19, verse 11, Jesus answered, "You could have no power at all against me unless it had been given to you from above. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin." And in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 29, it describes a worse punishment for those who once believed but have fallen away by rejecting Jesus Christ. So let us recap. Hell is a place of unquenchable fire. It is a place of memory and remorse. It is a place of thirst. It is a place of misery and pain. It is a place of frustration and anger. It is a place of separation. It is a place of undiluted divine wrath. It was originally prepared for Satan and his hosts. It is a place created for all eternity. Hell is the final destiny of unbelievers and is variously described by the figures of a furnace of fire, eternal punishment, outer darkness, the place of weeping and torment, eternal sin, the wrath of God, everlasting separation from the Lord, never to see the glory of his power, the bottomless pit, continuous torment, the lake of fire, the second death, a place for the devil and his demons. The foregoing designations clearly show that the state of those in hell is one of eternal duration. In summary, hell is a place of eternal but just punishment for the damned. So secondly, where is this place called hell? Frankly, we do not know. And let us pray God that we may never know from experience. Scripture does speak of hell as being below. The rich man in hell lifted up his eyes to heaven. Some have thought that hell is in the centre of the earth, and yet we are told in 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 10 that both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. True, Jesus descended first into the lower parts of the earth, but this means that his greatest humiliation, he went into death and the grave. Let us not dwell too much over the place where hell is to be found. It is sufficient for us to know that it is a dreadful place which lasts for all eternity. So here are some concluding thoughts. Our text says, and these will go away into everlasting punishment. Who are they? They are the unbelievers, the hypocrites, and temporary Christians. The teaching of Scripture concerning hell should cause us to fear God's wrath as a child fears to do wrong when a parent or teacher threatens punishment. We read in Matthew chapter 10 verse 28, and do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him, that is God, who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. This should make us flee the wrath to come by clinging to Jesus Christ our Saviour, who descended into hell and showed himself as a victor over Satan and hell. Matthew chapter 7 verses 13 and 14 read, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. And let us finally note that after death there is no opportunity for improving one's condition. Now is the day of salvation. Before we die, we must by faith in Christ make sure that we escape the torments of hell. May we be found among those few, among the righteous, among those who have put on Jesus' blood and righteousness and are arrayed in these, with joy shall lift up their head when the Son of Man comes in glory. For those of whom we spoke today shall go away to everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.